What does it mean to be free? To be at liberty. Are you free right now? Surely you can come and go as you please. Even if you have a physical disability, someone can bring you places merely for the asking. But does that mean you are free? Does it mean you are at liberty? Are you free if you feel you must work, even if the job is one you loathe? Are you free if you feel bound to stay in a relationship, even though it is not only not working for you, but may in fact be harmful to you? Are you free if you are in prison? Most of us would not think that we are free if we are serving time. However, I read a passage from a woman who is currently incarcerated, and she had this to say. For me, freedom is of the mind. It's having found contentment and peace within myself, and knowing that I am no longer under the constraints of mind-bending dependencies, which in my life took the form of the wrong people, substances, and lifestyle. My definition of freedom has most definitely evolved since being and beginning my sentence. Prior to my incarceration, I equated freedom, as most do, to a political or a civil right. When that is taken away, as it was for me, you feel shackled. Liberation comes only when you realize that no one can take away your mind, your ability to hope, to think, to grow, and to dream. In short, what the incarcerated woman was talking about was spirit and our ability to connect with it. Spirit is always with us. It is our essence. When we are not connecting to it, then we find ourselves trapped, imprisoned, deprived of liberty because of the workings of our minds and hearts. But we must realize that we can restore a sense of freedom, actual freedom, by pointing our minds and our hearts off of the present circumstances and onto the spirit within. Bill Wilson, the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, said that the freedom we are looking for is the freedom from the bondage of self. That self that is the mind run amok. That mind that is ego, that operates from a sense of separation, that is always concerned with what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal we shall be clothed. That sense of self that thinks we are on our own, that we must earn our keep by the sweat of our brow, that tells us we are always not good enough and need to work harder, or get more, or is envious of what the other person has or seems to have. Releasing from that bondage of self produces a spiritual awakening. Eckhart Tolle, in his book A New Earth, describes the spiritual realization this way. It is to see clearly that what I perceive, experience, think, or feel is ultimately not who I am, and I cannot find myself in those things that continuously pass away. Moses would describe this as freeing us from Egypt. And what remains is the light of consciousness, in which perceptions, experiences, thoughts, and feelings come and go, but our sense of being, the deeper, true I, remains. And when we identify it, we realize that what happens to us is not of absolute importance, but only of relative importance, meaning it comes and it goes, but it does not identify with who I am. I am is my essential identity. And it is then with this realization that we are free. We would be free if we were in a wide open, relaxed space, and we would be just as free if we were confined to a 4x4 cell. This is the meaning of Paul's statement about the Spirit of the Lord, that it is really the spirit of the I Am consciousness. Here is his statement in his second letter to the Corinthians. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. You see here, Paul is explaining to us that the inner Christ consciousness is always there within us, awaiting our connection, and we can go to it at any time. We need no intermediary. We can remove the veil from our face and experience it directly. Paul further writes, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the very same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed by coming into conscious contact with the Spirit of the Lord. This change frees us from our old thought patterns and our old judgments that led to causes and conditions. We are now free of those. And of course, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But what is the truth? That's the question pilots of the world always ask. And of course, we are driven in part by our inner pilot, which is always at odds with our inner Jesus. The truth that sets you free is the realization of being, being present, being aware, not judging, simply taking in the knowledge and awareness of what the circumstances are at this very moment, and not trying to judge them, not trying to change them. That is the work of ego. But rather, our job is to embrace things just as they are. When we do that, then we are free, as we know that our true soul role is merely just to be. When Jesus said, I am truth, he did not mean him personally. Rather, he meant that I am equals being, and that being or essence of being, that is the truth. That is what is knowable and unchangeable. As things as they really are at this present moment are not changeable. Now, you may be able to make choices and have different or changed experiences in the future, but that is not the now that is. Acceptance of the now that is freedom. Freedom to know, love, embrace, in short, the freedom to be. Mary Baker Eddy, who taught Emma Curtis Hopkins, had this to say about freedom. I saw that the law of mortal belief included all error, and that even as oppressive laws are disputed and mortals are taught their right to freedom, so the claims of the enslaving senses must be denied, superseded. The law of the divine mind must end human bondage. Otherwise, mortals will continue unaware of man's inalienable rights and in subjection to hopeless slavery. You see, the source of all suffering is when we are in conditions that we believe we should not be experiencing. Now, this can be extreme, such as imprisonment or concentration camps, or it can be minor annoyances, such as working in a job you hate. The important thing to keep in mind, though, is that you must focus on your mind and your heart. You have control over these things. You have control over what you are going to pay attention to. The way out is a brave but necessary step. It is connecting with who you are at your core, and then accepting it and operating from it. Now, I never got much career advice from my father, though he used to say, "Do what you love and the money will follow." I recently read a version of this in a business book oriented to helping lawyers run their practices as a profitable business. In that book, one of the authors writes of an apparently similar standpoint as that expressed by my own father. His father would say, "Don't worry, son, about finding a career for money's sake. In fact, don't take money into your calculus about the direction you want to go professionally at all. First and foremost, find something you are passionate about. Go after something that you love more than almost anything else in the world. If you do this, you will never see work as work. You will love every day of your professional life. And because you do not see it as work, the money will follow." In other words, do what you love. Find something you don't consider work because it is your love, and show the world your passion. Here you see what he is really saying is that when you are doing what you love, then you are in tune with the Spirit of the Lord. That father might just as well have said to his son, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." Do what you love. Get in with the Spirit of the Lord. Seek the kingdom of heaven. These are all saying the same thing. The Spirit is the real, the eternal, the blessed. Go where the Spirit takes you, not your sense evidence, and do not be bound by perceptions formed by our human condition. These perceptions put us into roles as if we were actors on a stage playing our part. Ram Dass in Be Here Now puts this in the most common terms imaginable. He was driving an old Buick on the highway in upstate New York. He was chanting as he drove and merely repeating a call out for God. Suddenly, he sees the blue light in his rearview mirror. He pulls over and he watches the trooper come out of his car to approach him. But in that instant, Ram Dass does not see a trooper. He describes that he sees a wonderful essence of being radiating outward. Just so happens to be wearing a policeman's uniform at the time. Now, this was the beginnings of the counterculture movement, and I posit that this situation could have deteriorated rapidly for Ram Dass. Instead, because Ram Dass saw him not as a trooper, but as the essence of being, of God, and because Ram Dass was filled with that same sense of spirit at the moment, these two beings then communicated in a sense of universal love and mutual recognition, almost with a wink of an eye. They were not the roles that they were adopting at that very moment. And Ram Dass was left with just a warning for driving too slowly, if you can believe it. And as they left each other, he felt that the trooper gave him a friendly wave goodbye. What happened there? It was a miracle. No, the miracle was not that no citation was given. No, the miracle was that these two individuals were able to depart from their human condition, take a break from it, as it were, and relate to one another as perfect children of God. For a brief moment in time, the veil had been dropped, and the essence of being came through. That is freedom. When our thoughts are governed by our human condition, what we discern with our five physical senses, well, then we are trapped in the finite. The dilemma of the human condition is that we can have thoughts without spiritual awareness. In other words, we could chart out a whole life for ourselves without spiritual awareness as to whether or not it is what we love, or whether it instead comes to us from a pure material or ego consciousness. In that case, when we do that, then we are out of Eden, and we are forced to live by the sweat of our brow. But you know, we can return to the Edenic state at any time. Change your thoughts to the things of the Spirit. You will find infinite blessings. When we read the Old Testament, we find the prophets giving us the message of changing our ways and paying attention to our sense of being, not what our ego tells us. The prophets do it in terms of directing their attention to the state of Israel and the state of Judah. We are expected to intuit from that the prophets are using the states not as geopolitical institutions, but as metaphors for ourselves, our consciousness. We can now remove the veil, as Paul would say. We can read and interpret the message as directly intended for us. And that message is that we can be free. Free right now from the only thing we ever need freedom from, the ego. The ego, Eckhart Tolle warns, creates separation, and separation creates suffering. How do you get the secret of happiness, according to Tolle? You make peace with the present moment. The present moment is the field on which the game of life happens. Once you've made peace with the present moment, according to Tolle, see what happens, what you can do, choose to do, or allow life to do through you. There are three words that convey the secret of the art of living, the secret of all success and happiness. Those three words are one with life. Being one with life is being one with the now. And then you realize life is living through you. There is a page in our Divine Science text entitled Realization of Freedom. It reads, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the perfect law of the universe, active everywhere." As soon as we truly recognize that this perfect law is the only law, we shall realize that there is no other law to govern thought or body. Acknowledge truth that there is but one life, one law. And once you know this, you realize freedom from all so-called supposed bondage to any inharmony. As we leave the service this morning, we should make it a point to look for the thing that bothers us. It won't take too long to appear, trust me. And when it does, let's sit back and be an objective observer for a moment. We can realize that what it is that disturbs us is merely our judgment or opinion about it. It is not the reality of the thing or event, but our thoughts about it. So let us release any of those thoughts about it. And we can say, "Thank you, Father, for this appearance of the event or thing," and we can embrace it. It is part of the now. It belongs. It has to. It is part of the present moment. What we think about it, though, well, that we can let go. We can choose right now to begin to consciously dwell in the Spirit of the Lord, and that requires that we accept all that is as part of the ever unfolding of life. According to the law of the universe, There is no need to fight it. We can let it be and unfold as it is. After all, it is going to unfold as it is anyway. We should take a few moments now to rest, contemplate, and make this lesson practical. Let's close our eyes, take in and breathe out one or two cleansing breaths, and just relax. Relax into the silence. Turn into our state of being, our essence, life as it is right now. And we might hear words like these: behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. I will rejoice in that place of inner peace. There shall be no more weeping or crying. The voice of weeping shall be no more heard, nor the voice of crying. And they shall build their consciousness and dwell there. And they shall reap the fruit, their consciousness, of the place in which they dwell. Dwell now in the Spirit of the Lord. In the Spirit of the Lord, you shall not labor in vain. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And they shall not hurt nor destroy when they dwell with me in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within now and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and for my his. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto his name.
Go in peace now, and remember to be in the Spirit of the Lord, for there is your liberty. Have a blessed week.